Welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
Been praying 24 hours of prayer and fasting. So I asked the Lord what he'd wanted me to talk about tonight. And he said, talk about prayer. And I thought, oh, yeah, that'd be inspiring. That's what we're on, so that's good. And that's something that he's been on my back about. It's funny how, I don't know what your experience of prayer, what your definition of prayer is, but over the years, it's almost like people, you know, like people tell you to pray, and but no one really knows why when you want to pray. Or, you know, I grew up in the church, and as a young person in the church, people would say to me, you know, Brooke, you know, it's really important that you pray. And, you know, I'd spend time praying, but I found it very, very boring. And I used to think, why am I doing this? No one really taught me about why that I need to pray. No one helped me understood the purpose behind prayer. And, you know, because if I knew what I know now about prayer, I would have been praying for a lot longer. So, you know, bad on those people that discipled me. No, sorry. But there is a sense that we've emptied prayer of its power. We'd empty prayer of its significance in our life. And if I could give you a gift tonight, it would be the gift of prayer. It'd be this idea. And I've even been challenged around it more recently because, you know, we use that scripture in the Bible that says that we should pray continually. And as much as that's true in the sense that we're in regular conversation with God in and out of our lifestyle, God wants a little bit more him time. You know, he doesn't want to share you all the time. And I've kind of been learning about that. And so most mornings I've been trying to go for a walk because God challenged me that I want you to pray for 5 or 6 hours a week. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of praying. And I've been really challenged about that. And the thing is that God really challenged that when I go for my prayer time, that I don't take my phone with me, that I don't take anything with me, but I just come with him because I get easily distracted. Like I sit down for 5 minutes and like my head is just going off the tree. Like I don't know what I'm thinking about, but I'm not thinking about Jesus and I'm not thinking about God. So I decided to go on prayer walks. And it's been amazing. And I'm just enjoying him, right? I'm just enjoying him. And you know when you spend time with someone that you haven't spent quality time with for a long time and go, you know what, I really like this person. You know when you haven't seen someone for a long time and then you re-engage with them and you have a relationship with them and you're like, you know, you take them out for dinner or they come and stay with your house for a weekend and you're like, I really like these people. I wish I could spend more time with them. You know what, that's what it's like with Jesus. You know, when you've been away from him for a while and you haven't had that quality time with him, when you come back into his presence, you find yourself, it's intoxicating to the point where you want more of it. Where something that sounded like a huge goal of 5 hours can turn into 10 hours and 15 hours. And the thing is that God doesn't necessarily want to fit in with your program in order to find a place. You need to commit yourself to spending time with him. I went to McDonald's on the way here. Well, kind of. I drove in. because I hadn't eaten anything for a while and I decided that before I'd speak tonight that I would really enjoy, I was craving a cheeseburger and, you know, who craves cheeseburgers, anyone here? Like, they're just enough but not too much, you know, it's just that kind of burger which really just, you know, a bit of fries, chocolate milkshake, you know, that goes down pretty good. What's that? Yeah, after this, cheeseburger time. You can go. But you guys like cheeseburgers, right? Yeah, but, and so anyway, long story short, I didn't get a cheeseburger. But I didn't get anything, actually. I drove in to McDonald's at Kirrawee, and there was a massive lineup, like, in the drive-thru. And I'm like, I'm not doing this, not for a cheeseburger. So I did a three-point turn in the car park and went out and said, you know, I'd rather fast than wait in that line. Right? That's how spiritual I am. But this is a great picture for me, because what happens is sometimes in your own journey with God is that you are trying to fit God and your prayer time into your busy schedule. And if it doesn't work out, you'll just skip it. You'll just move on to the next thing and you'll just go without it. But you know what? I want to say to you tonight, you can't afford to go without it. You can't afford not to spend time with Jesus one-on-one in his presence praying. In fact, your life, you'll find as you pray, you actually have more time. That's the fruit of praying. Because everything slows down to the point where you actually get onto God's agenda and God's heart and what he's on about. You know, I just want to pray more, and I don't want... You know what frustrates me? Carl Stefanovic. He annoys me. You know, when I watched the Today Show... actually, did I just say that out loud? After I go for a walk, come back, watch the Today Show, switch it on. I'm mainly going for the news. That's my aim, but Carl happens to be there. And then they talk about all these things, and people ring in, they share all these stories and, you know, all these stories, and they say, oh, our prayers and our thoughts are with you. And I thought, what a load of... You know, load of that. You know, it's just talk. And it empties it out to the point where it's actually... That's not the way prayer is meant to be. It's not meant to be a fast food variety drive-through, get what you need, go home, because it's all about you. It's all about what God can do. You know what? He wants a relationship with you. He wants intimacy with you. He wants that good times, amazing time with you. And out of that comes all those other things. Seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. Seek first him and his presence and time with him, and all these other things will come at that. But don't just, you know when people say, I'll pray for you, and I go, really? Will you? How much time will you pray for me then? No, I don't say that, so don't tell you me, pray for me. But you know what? We've got to be careful about how we throw out these things and say, you know, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to do this. Are you really? Are you really going to intercede? Are you really going to stand in the gap? Are you really going to get on your knees? And I'm challenged. Like, I'm in this. I'm presenting this and I'm here with you. I'm here with you, and I'm saying we're in this together, but what I'm saying to do is let's this prayer thing, this 24 hours of prayer that we've kind of put into our calendar is not something that we just put in our calendar once a year. 24 hours of prayer and 24 hours and getting connected to Jesus and finding out what he wants for our life. This is not a 24-hour gig. This is a daily thing. This is something that we need to get in our day. This is something we need to get into our week, because it changes who you are. It's who you are called to be, even, in that sense. I was at the school this week, and there's a guy that who has just started coming to our church from the school, a school dad, and I was telling him what I'm up to this week, and I said, we're sort of entering into 24 hours of prayer, because he's been intermittent, and I've just been sharing a little bit of the journey with him when I see him at school. And he says, Brooke, you know, the best shirt I've ever seen in my life was actually a prayer about shirt. And it says this, says, fight like a man, get on your knees and pray. Fight like a man, get on your knees and pray. And I just thought, man, that just resonates with me so much right now. I just thought, you know what? You want to fight like a girl? Get on your knees and pray. You want to fight like a man? Get on your knees and pray. Because that's where the fight is. That's where the victory is. That's where the change happens. That's where it's at. I wish I could come up with something better and say that's not where it's at, but I think it is. I think that's where it's at. I think that's what it's all about. And it's been like that forever. And I read this devotion that was written in 1952, and I just want to read it to you, mainly to make the point that this idea of prayer is something that has never changed, and it's always been the main thing. It's always been the important thing. It's always been the critical thing. And you know what? We want the fast food. We want to replace it with something else. We want to put something else in its place in order to live life and get the job done. But let me say, there is nothing else that comes in place of this. So you can't live that victorious life. You can't build intimacy with Christ. You can't get that victory that you're looking for. You can't get that overcoming spirit or that sort of sense of direction and purpose in your life. You can't find wisdom in God and in your life if you don't pray. It's not going to happen. You can't replace or fix or alter your family relationships or in your relationships in life. You can't do it without praying. We can't advance the church without praying. We can't see people's lives changed and transformed. We can't house the homeless. We cannot get people jobs. We cannot do anything without praying. We can't do it. So we've got to pray. And we can't just say, yeah, Brooke, I'm going to pray, you know, like Carl. Don't be like Carl. No. You don't want to go home from church tonight saying, I'm like Carl. No. I'm like Jesus. Yeah, I'm not like Carl, I'm like Jesus, yeah. So the devotion, 1952, it says, prayer is the answer to every problem in life. It puts us in tune with divine wisdom. Who knows how to adjust everything perfectly? So often we do not pray in certain situations because from our standpoint, the outlook is hopeless. But nothing is impossible to God. Nothing is so entangled that it cannot be made right by the loving Spirit of God. No mistake is so bad that it cannot be remedied with God's help. No human relation is too strained for God to bring about reconciliation and understanding to all concerned. No habit is so deep-rooted that it cannot be overcome. No one is so weak that it cannot be made strong. No one is so ill that they cannot be healed. No mind is so dull that it cannot be made brilliant. Whatever we need or desire, if we trust God, He can supply it. If there is anything that is causing us to worry or be anxious, let us stop rehearsing the difficulty and trust in the healing, love, and power of God and pray. Yeah. 1952 is a few years ago, and for many years we're trying to replace prayer with something else to get all that done. And we can't. And it won't happen. And we're slow to learn. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for Jesus, and it's good enough for me. I want to read from Matthew, and it's going to be up on the screen, chapter 4. And this is when Jesus is led into the desert to pray and to fast for 40 days. And it was important for the Father to establish an intimate relationship with the Son after His baptism. And the way He did it is that He sent Him into the desert to be with the Father because He wanted to teach Him. He wanted to pull Him away from any sort of relational dependency. Which is amazing, isn't it? Because sometimes in life, we will talk to other people before we talk to God. So what does He do with Jesus? He says, you know what? I want you to know from the start, it's not about anyone else, it's about us. And so I'm going to put you in the desert. And trust me, no one's coming out there. There's no visitors. So He's baptized, and it says that the Holy Spirit leads Him into the desert. Let's read it together. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit, this is after His baptism, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. If God wants to teach you how to be resilient, He's going to do it through prayer and intimacy with Him. You know what? We are very soft. Can I say that? Like we not battle. You know, we need to stand up and we need to grab our swords and some of the stuff that we've been sharing over this 24 hour. You know, we need to, you know, stand up, you know, be a man and fight like a man, you know. Because we're going to come, you know, we're going to become under temptation. We're going to be attacked by the enemy. He's going to question things in our life. But you know what? I don't care. You know what? Because Jesus wins every time. I'm okay with that. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. That makes sense. It's profound, the Bible, isn't it? So he takes away from his relational connectivity or dependence. He also takes him away from his natural comforts, right? Comfort food. Anyone? Cheeseburger? He says, it says, okay, we're going to take you from away relational connectivity. We're going to take you away from the comforts of life, everything that you need to feel like you're secure, everything you need to feel like you're going to be okay, because you know what? All the things that you think are going to make you okay and secure, you can get from me. They tempted Cain and he said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones. It's interesting. The reason that you need to come, it's going to be a long verse, isn't it, if I stop at every one, I know that. But I just want you to walk through it here. If you are the Son of God, and this is a reoccurring theme here, what tends to happen is when you are away from God, the first thing that will come into question is your identity. Who are you? Who are you that you can do that? Who are you that you think you can be that? Who are you that you can stand up and do that? I'm a child of the King. Get out of here, Satan. I don't care what you think. I know who I am. And I no doubt, I think Jesus needed to know who he was. You know, he got baptized in the verses before this, and he says, you know, he got baptized, you are my son, who I am well pleased. The first attack that comes on Jesus is an attack on his identity. He says, you are my son, who I am well pleased. And then he goes, if you are the son. Well, you know, I'm surely Jesus hasn't got that much Alzheimer's that he's forgotten that he is the son. He's just reminded and it's been secure, but he stands there because I think the Father wants him to know that he is the Son. And that's really important for you to know, that you're a son and a daughter of the King. You know what? And if I am God's son, you know, I think anything after that is a bonus. I feel quite secure in that reality and confident in that reality. Tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And this, once again, is this idea of dependency on God. Keep going. And then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, that he will lift you up in your hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, pick up your sword, right? Sword, word of God, truth, yeah. Enemy comes, just put the truth in his guts. See how that feels. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I give to you, he said, and if you bow down and worship me, and Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for you it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. That's awesome, isn't it? You know what happens after the devil comes? The angels come. So he questioned his... Oh, there's a couple of things that I see that come up in. The identity thing comes up, but also a sense of, will God provide for me? So the provision thing comes up as well. You know, the bread thing. Will God provide for me? Will he protect me? Is God, if I throw myself, you know, if I get in trouble, is God going to come and is he going to protect me? So it's about identity, it's about provision, it's about protection, but it's also about purpose. Because what happens is that the most important thing, Jesus, get the story, Jesus is in the just been baptized, he's about to go and serve God. This is before any miracles have happened, right? This is before any fireworks or any amazing things have happened. And he wants him to know, you know what, you can do nothing without me. You know, put the next scripture up there from John 15. In Jesus' name. Thank you. You can read this passage, but I'm the vine. Jesus is saying, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do bugger all. You can do nothing. That's not something. That's not a little bit. That's nothing. Nothing. The Greek word for nothing, as Brett would say, is nothing. Zero. We need to get this. Because if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. If he's going to go into ministry and he's going to do something significant for God, and God says, the way I'm going to solidify that in your life is I'm going to take you into the desert. And I'm going to make you resilient. And I'm going to realize that your identity, that your provision, that your understanding, that your power, everything you have is in me. And that's all you need. I think it took Jesus, and I always think about 40 days. Why 40 days? I think it would take me 40 days to get this picture, to understand. It takes more than 24 hours of prayer to change me. It's going to take more than 24 hours of prayer to change you. And Jesus would go into the desert. I no doubt he went out of that place going, you know what? The most important thing is me and him. And that's it. Apart from me, I can do nothing. Prayer is the cure, if you like, for self-sufficiency. That's what it is. Fight like a man and get on your knees and pray. Brett's going to come and share in a minute. I brought a pen up here just in case I had to write some more notes while I was going. I'm excited, you know. I'm excited because I see a praying church. And I believe that as we pray and as we seek God, then we'll bear much fruit. But apart from that, we can do nothing. And I really, as I was preparing for today, I felt like I wanted to encourage you to pray, really think about what your prayer time looks like. You know, just you and God, going one-on-one. And if you want to talk to me or some of the other guys about what are you going to do in that time, I do stupid things. Like I pray and I allow creation to, you know, allow triggers to help me pray. I've worked out every time I walk past a bin that I start a process of repentance. It sounds stupid, doesn't it? But that's what I do. Because there's a lot of things in me that get in the way of love. There's a lot of things in my heart, not too bad, so don't be that concerned. Maybe, I don't know. But they're like repentance and just cleaning house, you know, not becoming a spiritual hoarder. You know, cleaning house on a regular basis so you've got a space in order for God to minister to you and for you to minister to other people. For you to support other people and for God to support you is that you need to get rid of everything in this place, you know, whether it's anger or frustration or hurt or pain or bad attitudes or sins of omission or sins of commission in the sense of things that you should have done that you didn't do or things that you should do that you don't do. There are two things that we can do is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, which means that we do something and we shouldn't have done it. Or we can quench the Holy Spirit, meaning that we were meant to do something and we don't do it and we stop him from moving. That's a sin. Sorry, God, for the times when I've done something and I've done it my own way. Sorry, God, for the times when you've asked me to do something and I refuse to do it. Sorry, God, for the attitudes I have between that person. Sorry, there's some people in my life that I don't really like right now. I love them, but I don't like them. That's not true, is it? That's just me, right? That's not true. And so every time I come to a bin, I repent and I stop and I just say, God, I want to offload everything because you went to the cross, right? So that my sins could be carried so that I didn't have to carry them. That's the gospel, that you can live a free and you can walk a free life. You don't have to do that. That's the amazing grace of God, is that all the things that stop you from experiencing his love and you experiencing love to other people, you can offload onto him and he will set you free from that. It's beautiful. Why wouldn't you want to hang out with him just for that? So we need to pray. But I was asking God, you know, I kind of felt like this urge to kind of write a letter to the church, kind of like the Ephesians, you know, that Paul wrote a letter to the church of Ephesus. So I thought I'd like to write a letter. It's not going to get printed in the Bible, FYI. And I want to encourage our church in this too, because we got together at Sunday nights down at Sea Change. We have the upper room, and I said to the group down there that meet on a Sunday night, I said, okay, let's just ask God what he wants to say. And I just sort of took some notes and then collated, put this together. So I'm just going to read it to you. Is that all right? It's encouraging, just so you know. There are some challenges in there, but you know. And I'm not, just so you know, Revelation says we shouldn't add anything to the Bible. I'm not doing that either, by the way. I'm not doing it. This is just my word of encouragement. All this is from the word anyway. Dear church, God is here. His presence is here. Why? Because you're here, right? And he lives in you. And he's among you. God is here. His presence is here. Angels are encamped around you. Psalm 34, verse 1. I want you to open your spiritual eyes and see that I am here among you. I'm calling you and I'm opening the eyes of the blind. Stand up. In Jesus' name, stand up. It's in here, but I want you to do that as well. Stand up as the enemy is under your feet. I, the God of peace and love, have crushed Satan, and my grace is with you. Such is this time for you to arise and shine. Darkness shall be around, but I will arise upon you, and my glory shall be upon you. I have trained your hands for war and your fingers for battle. I am your steadfast love and your fortress, your shield, in whom you will take refuge. It's time to pick up your sword. Hold it steady in your hand. Like I stood with Nehemiah to rebuild the wall, I am standing with you to rebuild the church. Like Nehemiah built the wall, build the church, but also stand ready for battle with your sword in one hand, standing in the truth of my word and destroying the works of the enemy. Do not let down your guard. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, that you will stand your ground. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Give thanks. And open your eyes. Give thanks and open your eyes to what I'm doing among you. Do not be like my people in the wilderness, but do everything without complaining or arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Fix your eyes on me. Do not lose this connection. We've got like broadband connection, not dial up, download, cutting in and out all the time. Don't lose this connection. I'm about to help you rediscover your spiritual identity, knowing who you are and whose you are. Focus on what is eternal, not temporary. Set your minds on heavenly things, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. There is a time of culling and pruning. A time where I'm preparing the church for what's ahead so that even more fruitfulness can appear. I desire my house to be full, but I will cut off every branch that will not help you bear more fruit. I am preparing you for a harvest season. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. As I am leading the way, I am the Lord who always leads a triumphant procession. I speak to you, but not everyone will understand. I encourage that he who has ears, let him hear, and he who has eyes, let them see. With love, your Heavenly Father. It's all predicated on we getting out of the way and allowing God to do his thing. That's a story of your life. Part of the salvation journey, and I don't know who you are, or I don't know everyone in this room, but we look at the cross here because Jesus paved the way for us in order to know him. Many years ago in the garden, Adam and Eve decided they knew better than God, and they decided that they wanted to live their own life their way. And from that time on, God has been trying to restore his sons and daughters back to himself. He's been trying to bring us back to a place where we'll bring him back into the driver's seat, where we'll actually allow him to get out of the way again and actually say, you know what, God, you actually know better. You know how to lead my life. You know how to get things done. You know what my destiny is. You know who I am, and you know what I'm called to do. And I have no idea. And that's what repentance is. It's a changing of mind to say, you know what, I really don't know how to live my life, and I need God to come back and take control of something that is rightfully his, because you were created by him and for him. And so we come to that place where we understand that his life is the best life that you could possibly live. But it takes surrender. It takes a decision for each one of us every day of our life, and that's what prayer does. It cures self-sufficiency, and it says, God, I don't want to drive my own life. I don't want to drive my own church. I don't want to drive my own family. I don't want to drive my own business. I don't want to drive my own job. God, I want you to drive what's going on in my life in every single way. And so we put him back in his rightful place. You know what? And we do it. You do it once when you become a Christian and you say, Christ, you know, become a Christ follower rather than, that's what it means to be a Christian, a Christ follower. You follow him rather than he's following you or chasing you sometimes. So we can make that decision. I would like us to pray right now, but maybe you need to make that decision for the first time. Maybe you've been controlling, you've been set, you thought your life is the best life with you in the driver's seat, but you figured out after a short time that you don't drive very well and that you need him to come in and take over your life afresh. Maybe you've done it before and you need to recommit. We need to pray and say, God, come and I want to know your presence. It's like that story I told at the start. It's like a friend who comes over after many years and you hang out with them and you realize, man, where have you been? We need to hang out more. Maybe that's the relationship and connection. So let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, we just know we can't do anything without you. And there are people in this room today, Jesus, I know, that need you in their life to control and give them a destiny and a future. And even though it's difficult to let go of our lives because we're so used to being independent, I just pray you would put a grace on tonight that would allow us to let go, and knowing that you are a good, good Father, and that you are a good God, and that even though you took your only son into the desert, it was actually the power that enabled him to do amazing ministry and start something that we still enjoy today. So, dear Jesus, we're sorry for doing our own thing, and we repent, and we want to change our mind about that, and we want to put you in the driver's seat, and we want to say yes to God. And we know that's hard, and we thank you for your forgiveness and grace and your mercy, that you said when you died on the cross, you forgive us of all our sins and you heal us from all our diseases. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Part two.
All right, I'm going to get the band up. No, don't sit down. Because I'm not going to speak for 45 minutes. You know, when Brooke first started to do ministry alongside me many, many years ago, he was a young boy from the bush, from Wagga. And he's grown into such a mighty man of God, right? Yeah. You know, once upon a time we were one. Now we're three. Sea Change, Caring Bar, Cambodia. And I have the privilege of a very unique perspective in that I get to be in all of those three places and see what God's doing, hear what God's doing. You know, I was at Sea Change last Sunday and just was so blessed. Callard spoke and I was just so blessed by and challenged by his word. And I said to the community there last Sunday, I said, man, we need you guys to come down to Caringbah next Saturday night and impart something to us. You know, when you're in part of a family, there's times when we give, we need, you need. I was in Cambodia in church the week before that, so I've been in all three of our campuses in 3 weeks. And in Phnom Penh, you know, they're a developing world, developing country. They don't have a lot. The joy in that place, my gosh, I just want to bring that back. God is doing something different often in our different parts of our family, but it's all about the same thing. It's all about aligning us together to see God's kingdom come and His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I was reminded about a word God gave to me somewhere between 12 and 16 years ago. I can't remember exactly when it was. Some of you would have been around and will remember. God spoke a word over our church, and this was back when there was just Caring Bar, and it came out of scripture in Isaiah 35. And God just brought that back to my spirit last night as we started praying at Sea Change through some visions and words that other people had had. And I just want to read it because I believe that what God is doing in our church, in His church, is for this. He's releasing us. You know, I felt God say, you know, you're about to take some new land, church. There's some more land for you to take. It's the land that I've promised for you to take. So take hold of it. Step into it. Be bold, be courageous, be strong, because I've prepared a way and you guys need each other to do this. And this is what I believe He's going to lead us into. The wilderness and desert will sing joyously. See, there's the joy already. The badlands will celebrate and flower. There's the fruitfulness. Like the crocus in spring bursting into blossom, a sympathy of song and color. Someone was talking about a symphony today. Mountain glories of Lebanon, a gift. Awesome Carmel, stunning. Sharon, gifts. God's resplendent glory, full of display. God awesome, God majestic. Energize the limp hands. Strengthen the rubbery knees. Some of us have got rubbery knees. Tell fearful souls, courage, take heart. God is here. That's how Brooks' letter started. God is here, right here, on His way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He's on His way. He will save you. Blind eyes will be opened, church. We need our eyes opened. The world around us is making us blind to the truth and to the power and to the promises and to the presence of God. And even tonight, God wants to open some eyes. Deaf ears will be unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer. The voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a cool oasis. Thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. Every lowly jackals will have a water to drink, and barren grasslands will flourish richly. And there will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It's for God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools can get lost on this road. Thank God for that. No lions on this road, no dangerous animals, nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people of God has ransomed, the people God has ransomed will come back onto this road. And they'll sing as they make their way home to Zion, unfading halos of joy encircling their heads. Welcome home with gifts of joy and gladness as all sorrows and sighs scurry into the night. I believe there's five promises that God has for us as His church. Sea Change, Caring Bar, Phnom Penh. And I believe He wants to begin to release those promises in your life tonight. The first is courage. God wants to bring courage to the fearful. Whether you're fearful of what people might think, you're fearful of the future, you're fearful of relationship, you're fearful of surrender, whatever it is that is in you that is stopping you from being all that God has called and created you to be, He wants to pour out courage into your life. Renewed vision. He wants the eyes to be opened. He wants the blind to see, the spiritually blind to see Jesus, to see the vision that He has for your life and for your future and for His church. He wants to pour out strength, the feeble knees and the weak hands. He wants to strengthen the body. He wants us to be fit and strong. Because when we're fit, healthy and strong, we can go into the world and impact our community with greater power. So strengthen the body, God. And restoration. We all know people in our lives who are not part of God's church anymore. And there's a promise in Isaiah 35 that He's going to bring the redeemed back to the road. And I believe God wants to do a work in your friends, in your families, in those people out there that have once walked with Jesus, who are not walking with Jesus, and He wants to bring them back onto the road. And we all know people like that. The fastest growing church in Australia is those that aren't going anymore. God wants to change that. And that's His promise. And finally, joy. God wants to bring joy. He wants to bring joy where there's sadness, joy where there's misery, joy. What He wants to pour out. You know, Jesus in John's gospel, He talks about a whole bunch of stuff and He says, the reason I'm telling you this is because I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be complete. The joy of Jesus in you. Can you fathom that? He wants the joy of Jesus in you and your joy to be complete. That's not a half-baked, mediocre bit of joy, friends. That is phenomenal joy. And He wants to release it in your life and in the church's life, here at Sea Change, in Phnom Penh, and across the globe. So I'm going to pray over you. And I just want to, if God is really speaking to you now about this stuff, and you want to respond and surrender to His call, if you want to say yes to whatever He's saying in your heart right now, as we worship, I want you to come down the front. I want you to take a step of faith and a step of surrender into the promise that God has for you. I'm going to pray when we finish this song. I'm going to pray over anyone that's come forward and anyone else that hasn't. Those five things. If God, if your heart is right, if you know, whether you know Jesus, whether you've walked with Him before, whether maybe tonight for the very first time you've heard the gospel, you've seen people worship, you've heard about Jesus maybe for the very first time, come. Come, because Jesus is waiting and He wants to bless you and encourage you. He wants to pour out His love and His grace and His forgiveness over your life. He wants to release courage. He wants to release eyes, renewed vision. He wants to bring the redeemed back onto the road. He wants to release joy and strength. So you come, you surrender, you give as we worship. Thanks, Benny. Let's worship God. Let's worship You, Lord. Have Your way, God.
Still stands. The great is Your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in Your hands. This is my comfort.
Jesus.
church, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. I just believe in my heart tonight that as I pray this prayer, God's going to come and do what He needs to do for you tonight. Whether you need to be strengthened because you're feeling weak and feeble, whether you need your spiritual eyes opened, whether you need a dose of joy in your life, whether you need to be restored back onto the highway, the freeway, whether you need courage. I just believe in my heart that when I pray, God is going to release whatever that is that you know in your heart you need tonight. You know, I'm just so excited to see you young guys and girls just giving your heart to Jesus and loving on Him and wanting to serve Him and committing yourself to the most incredible adventure that you will ever experience. And I pray blessing on these young people. Just going to get a couple of people to pray with me and get Brooke and Leon and Luba, Rod here. Any of our elders that are here, just to come and lay hands and just wander around, lay hands on these people as I pray. Jesus. Jen. Caitlin, maybe you come and just pray with these, pray over these kids from Sea Change. Right, let's join our faith together. You know, we've been focusing on this whole idea of ask, seek, and knock over these 24 hours of prayer. Ask and it will be given. It's a promise by Jesus. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. The Bible tells us that where two or more are gathered and agree together on earth, it is done on earth from heaven. It's a promise. So we're going to claim that promise over these lives tonight. Jesus' name. Claim those promises. Because we're going to agree that as we pray in faith, lives that are here tonight are going to be changed. That this is going to create renewing of the mind, transformation. That this is going to shift people from where they are to where God wants them to be, in a better, brighter, more beautiful place. Because He is always about better. Pray. God, I want to stand in faith. Stand in faith, Jesus. For every person that stands before you tonight. They've come because you've called them. They've come because you've chosen them. They've come because you've invited them. They've come to receive from the living God. Holy Spirit. They all come with a different need, with a different thing in their heart. Whether some of them need a dose of courage, courage at school, courage at work, courage at home. And I pray in Jesus' name and in faith that you would release courage right now. Release courage, that they would have the courage to stand and be strong, stand in the storms of life. Some have come to have their eyes opened afresh. Open their eyes in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And in faith, open their eyes in Jesus' name. Some have come for joy. And I pray that the joy of Jesus would be filled in their spirit right now. And the spirit of joy and their joy would be complete.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show His love, grace, and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact He has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.